This is Joy.
And this is Claire. And this is a podcast about soggy bottoms and good bakes. On your marks.
Get set.
Bake.
Bake.
We're never going to get it together.
Biscuit week.
Good morning.
I'm doing something different today just because no one can see this, but I have the episode playing on the side because I really love to comment on like the little things that I forget about when we start recording. But I have to say right out of the gate, this episode has your name all over it for the tattoo. And I'm sure a lot of comments about some mint chocolate.
Yes, I am glad that they acknowledged that mint chocolate normally tastes like toothpaste.
Claire has strong feelings.
I also really strong feelings, guys. I am anti mint chocolate. If I wanted to have that taste, I would just brush my teeth and then eat some chocolate.
Is there a way that it could be done well?
I think is a short answer because what it really comes down to is that I don't like mint flavoring and
just period the end. Yeah.
Like I'll eat mint gum, but I don't like mint that like. Anyway, so yeah.
In a dessert situation, mint needs to be out of the equation.
Not for me.
Yeah, I remember growing up, my dad loved Milano cookies. Whenever we would accidentally buy the mint Milano, he'd be like, "No, I don't want the mint Milano."
I am like really not someone who ever returns things to the store. I don't know why. I just like find it.
I'm the same way. I can't. Yeah. It doesn't feel worth it.
Really, one of the
Unless
only
it's
things
like $100.
Right. One of the only like small things I've ever returned in my life was the time I accidentally bought mint chocolate Milanos, and I was like, "This will not do." And I took them back and got regular Milanos.
Oh, you did? That's really funny.
Like, I'm not going to even open.
You draw
this.
The
like,
line.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not worth it. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Well, here we are at Biscuit Week. I thought the opening was pretty dumb. I also would like to comment on the real lack of B-roll that we've had so far this season.
Really? I was going to say I'm missing some baby ducks.
Nary a baby duck to be seen. Or a
I do want to know whose dog is named Biscuit, because clearly someone has that dog's name is Biscuit. I'm going to put money on it. Someone's dog name is Biscuit. So they were like, "Oh, let's put Biscuit in the skit." But they didn't tell us the dog's name is Biscuit. That was probably an inside joke, but it's a really very cute dog.
It was a very cute dog. Yeah, maybe there's like a celebrity dog in the UK who's named Biscuit. But I do love Noel's dedication to skinny jeans. That was my note.
Yeah. I also want to call out two great memes that people sent us this week. One was like a tweet around like, "I hope the Great British Bake Off realizes that they have to carry my emotional, like all
right,
of my emotions.
Carrying my full emotional weight this fall."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was like, "To my core, I don't understand why the Bake Off is in a tent."
I know.
And I'm like, that's actually a great question.
It's a great question. At this point, why still are you in a tent? You have the budget. We talk about this every year too, when it is chocolate week inevitably in the middle of July and everything melts. And it's like
so hot.
You guys can afford air conditioners.
They really can.
Just get some air conditioners.
I wonder. This is
now it's just like part of the thing.
Yeah. Nobody pays attention to it because it's just normalized. But I really want to know at this point, they would be silly to not do a behind the scenes of the show and why it all started in a tent.
Making the video.
Yeah.
Okay. Making the music. Okay.
Yes.
I also love Prue's sweater with the little flowers. Very cute. It's actually like a little cutesy for her, in my opinion. Like,
and her necklace is great in this episode.
Love it.
And I do believe she makes all of her jewelry still. So even better, I pay attention
even
to that.
Okay. The signature challenge this week is Illusion Macarons. They want 18 identical decorative macarons. Any flavor must be filled, and the decoration must make them look like something other than a macaron. So that's kind of a cute challenge. I will also say that people are not psyched about Biscuit Week. In the opening sort of interviews, everyone's like, "Yeah, this is not my week." And it's like,
Mason's like, "Well, I could just go buy a biscuit." I'm like, "That's not the point of the show. Please. Get on with it."
Right. They're looking for macarons that are very light, perfectly shaped. The outside is smooth and shiny and crisp, and the inside is delicious and chewy. Are you a macaron fan?
I'm an anything fan.
I'm not a real macaron fan.
I'll eat anything that's baked. I'll go ahead and eat it.
I'm just going to discriminate. I don't mind them, but I feel like there's something about them that's so sweet. I'm like,
let's put it this way. It's not the first thing I'm going to grab if I'm at a bakery and I'm going to be like, I want something delicious. It's more of like a croissant, something the light, fluffy, flaky type of
pastry.
Thing. But pastry type, I would not turn down a a macaron.
They're looking for colorful, vibrant, and they want people's personalities to come through. Paul says, don't try to overdo it. And so what do people do? They overdo it.
They overdo it. They overdo it, and they don't follow the rules. And every time, I just want to throw my glasses across the room because there's always somebody who overdoes it.
I know.
As all I right. hit the microphone.
So Carol is making little burgers. So smart. As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, genius. They're going to be chocolate orange buttercream with chocolate lettuce and fondant tomatoes and cheese. Hers come out a little flat, and they don't really like the orange flavor. She actually doesn't do great. Sandro is also making little burgers. His are passion fruit and rum salted caramel flavor with chocolate ganache ketchup. He does well. They really like the flavor. Janusz is making watermelon macarons, and the inside is watermelon and lemon curd with watermelon buttercream. But he's using spinach powder as food dye, and this raises a red flag where he's like, you know, it's going to give them that little like plant flavor. I'm like, I don't want my macarons to taste like plants.
I'm not sure that's what people think of when they think of a macaron.
It's absolutely not. Nor a watermelon.
Right.
However, they have a great dome shape. The good flavor is good. They're a little dry.
It looks cute. The presentation's really adorable. Mm-hmm. He like puts it in a cute little cooler. And he's really one of my favorites personality-wise. He's so cute. When he's like, just a little, you know, something refreshing, you know, for the summer. And I'm just like, oh.
His little accent is so cute.
Yes, I love him. I love him. I feel like anytime he speaks, he's like the equivalent of skipping.
You just
always skipping
wanna, like,
in
your,
my mind.
You just want to skip down the lane, like, when you listen to him. Oh, no. Okay, Maxie is making daisies that are inspired by her daughters. They're raspberry mascarpone cream and salted caramel. They look good. They have good feet. They keep saying like, oh, they have good feet. And I think what that means when the macaron kind of rises, and it has this little ring around the bottom.
Yes.
Where it started. And that is apparently the feet.
Like the base.
The macaron is all about the way that the cookie rises.
Right.
You know, it starts out as just like this little puddle, and then it has to rise in just the right way. And the outside has to be right, the right texture. It's very fussy. I would say fiddly, maybe. They look great. Like I said, they are delicious. Maxie, I'm going through this in the order that they introduced the bakes. But actually, Maxie was the last one to get judged. She gets a handshake. And
yeah,
she
was so surprised.
Gets the second handshake. So spoiler alert, there's another handshake still coming that we have to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was surprising. Two handshakes. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she doesn't even like macarons.
She's like, I don't even like these things. So good for her. Which
I love when they do that. Yeah. They're like, not really a fan, but okay, here we go.
Exactly. Mason made carrots, and it was so weird because Matt was like, what inspired you? She's like, you know, when I think about macarons, the first thing I think about is carrots. I was like, what?
Yeah, I didn't. I'm like, I'm not following that train.
Absolutely
I really
not.
Want to be inside your brain, but I don't get it.
It's not making sense to me, Mason. They're going to be baklava flavored. And Paul's comment when he judges them, there is an effort to make a carrot shape, he says. Hers don't turn out great. She runs out of time. She doesn't have time to like do additional decoration. They are just sort of like orange blobs.
Yeah. I mean, they look okay, but if she would have added any decoration,
any at all,
it would have just totally made the difference. They do look like orange blobs. And you know what? In the cartoon draw, you know, when they do the little cartoon example, when they had like cute little smiley faces on them.
Yeah.
Like, where did that go? They always look different when they do the cartoon drawing.
The textures are good though, but the orange is too strong. So she doesn't do great. James is making little raccoons in order to pay homage to his baking raccoon tattoo. I love it. And now I want a baking raccoon tattoo.
I think you need to tell everybody about your tattoo.
Oh, if you guys don't know.
Yes.
I have a tattoo on my leg of a bear holding a croissant, like a giant croissant, and it's a bear hugging it.
Bear hug. A bear giving a bear hug.
To a giant croissant.
A giant croissant. It's
and adorable. My goal is to fill my leg with all critters that are holding pastries. So next, or foods that I love. So like next up on the docket, I'm going to get a snail whose shell is a cinnamon roll. And then an otter who's holding a bowl of soup.
Okay. I was going to say the bowl of soup. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also, I'm considering a snake wrapped around a baguette.
Okay, that's great.
So yeah, a raccoon definitely needs to be in there.
And
maybe it could be a raccoon holding a macaron.
Well, his tattoo
is is just the baking raccoon. It's so great.
Well, no, it's his tattoo is a raccoon holding a cookie. It's really cute.
It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And it has like a little apron on, I think.
Yeah, it's adorable.
So his macarons are going to have raspberry whipped cream and mango curd filling. In my opinion, I was like, he's overdoing it. These things are never going to look like raccoons, but they actually turn out great.
Yeah.
Great flavor.
A lot of detail.
Really good macaron.
A little overdoing with like the detail of making. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. He ends up doing great. I was really surprised that those turned out so well. So good job for the raccoons. It's almost there. The raccoon? Red leather, yellow leather. Maca raccoon, we're calling it.
Maca raccoon.
Okay, then we have Rebs. She's making little black cats. Apparently, she has a black cat who's 15 years old.
15 years old. And she plays the tin whistle
and
to
She plays the tin whistle. Those are her two personality traits. Black cat, tin whistle. Her filling is going to be chocolate ganache and raspberry coulis. So her first attempt at these, the batter is undermixed. It's too thick. So she has to remix her batter from scratch. She starts over halfway through the challenge. She completely runs out of time. She barely gets them put together. It's a huge mess. They do give her credit for the cat design. It's like, yeah, you can tell it's the cat. You just clearly ran out of time. They like the flavor. I'm surprised she kind of pulls it off. Like, this is definitely shows that a lot of if they can tell, like, all that happened here was that you ran out of time. If it comes down to like a tiebreaker, they're going to hold that against you. But in the scheme of things, what they're really looking for is like, were you on the right track when the time ran out? And they think that she was. She actually pulls it off. She does okay.
I mean, I'm always, though, hesitant. Do you get weird about when people bake with black things, like black tar?
Yeah.
It looks like black tar to me when she did the black cat.
Right.
It doesn't look appealing to eat something that's
black.
But
I agree. And also, have you ever eaten a black thing? Maybe the macarons wouldn't do this, but sometimes one of my friends, her husband's mother, so her mother-in-law, has like a side hustle as a royal icing cookie decorator. So she makes those like extremely fancy custom cookies, and she made them for her wedding. And one of the cookies that she made was like a tuxedo. And so it was all black icing. And when you ate it, it turned your mouth black.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of what
so
I think
much
about.
Food dye that goes into the process. Yeah.
Like those black and white cookies different because I feel like that's not as intense, but yeah. Anytime you like, whatever
Have
you call it, the batter is black. It's like, how's this going to work?
Yeah. Kevin is making ice cream cones with peppermint. So here comes the chocolate peppermint. It's chocolate and peppermint ganache. Say what you will. They look fine. Paul is really caught up in the fact that the cones are not dark enough. He's like, this is not an ice cream cone. Ice creams are darker than this.
Yeah, it looks too light. Okay.
Of all the things, of all the like battles to pick.
Calm down. Right.
But the taste is good. The mint is a bit strong, but it's not toothpaste-y, but the textures are good. He does fair, I would say. Abdul is also making ice cream cones with chocolate, coffee, and caramel ganache. These ones, I think, look a little bit more messy. Again, Paul's like, that's not the flavor, or that's not the color of an ice cream cone. They're delicious, but the coffee flavor is too strong. The other flavors don't come through. Dawn is making yo-yos. So smart. As soon as she said that,
I'm
like, yeah, duh, Dawn. Genius. Smart.
Genius. This is the perfect example of taking a challenge, making it super cute and super unique without making it overly complicated.
Exactly. Like, she nails it. It's like, what does a macaron look like? A freaking yo-yo. All you have to do is add a little fondant string. Done.
Done.
That's it.
Yes. Perfect.
They're going to have strawberry mascarpone cream in them. And she's adding just like all the strawberries her heart desires. She's like, the last thing you want is for them to say it doesn't taste like strawberries. So she's just dumping it in. They're very neat. They have a great flavor. Dawn gets a handshake. And this is actually the first handshake, as I mentioned before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She does fantastic. They say the interior just lifts you up. They love it so much. The perfect macaron.
Lifts you up.
Just lifts you up.
Kind of like Janusz's, Janusz.
Like Janusz's cadence of talking.
Yes.
All right, Shabira. She's making savory macarons. This feels like a huge risk. They're going to be chicken satay flavored. They're not going to have chicken in them, but that's the flavor. They're going to be shaped like huge peanuts filled with a tofu satin sauce. Paul hates tofu. We all know he's very skeptical. Mm-hmm. It's a huge gamble. They end up looking amazing.
Her confidence really makes me feel confident in her.
I agree. And she's like, this is one where I was like, you are overdoing this. Like, you're taking a huge risk on something that does not really warrant a risk. You just needed to dial it back a couple of steps. I appreciate, you know, this is like a semifinal bake, what you're pulling out here in week two.
Right. Right.
Don't go home because you tried to prove yourself too early. You just, these first couple weeks, you just got to be in the middle of the pack. You got to rich froning it. You don't have to win every one. You just got to be consistently towards the top, and then you win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you win the CrossFit
Games.
They
look great though.
They look so good. The flavor is really good. She doesn't quite nail it. And I think the reason she doesn't quite nail it is because they're like, they don't really have anything, you know, to like judge it against. And so they're like, oh, it starts out sweet and then it gets savory and then it gets sweet at the end again. You don't really want that. But maybe that is what she wanted.
But I was like, maybe that is what she wanted. Right. And to be honest, I'm like, are you really going through the flavor profile as you eat it and judging off that? Like,
no.
Did she do a good job with the challenge?
It feels like, and because I think, because she went out on a limb, I feel like they were a little more nitpicky in her judging.
Totally, totally agree.
But it's a great texture. I think she pulls it off. So here we go. The first challenge of the day comes two handshakes. I think Maxie and Dawn, obviously with the handshakes, are in the top. And Rebs and Mason, I think, are definitely in the bottom because they both ran out of time and theirs were pretty much unfinished. Okay. Do you have any other notes about this signature challenge?
Mm-mm. I'm excited to hear about your red velvet cake.
Okay. So here's the time of the week where we talk about last week's technical because I baked it. Last week's technical was a red velvet cake and I made it at home and it turned out terrible. It tasted fine. Let's just cover that off. Let's also cover that off the fact that I don't really like red velvet cake. And so I posted about this on Instagram. Everyone was like, oh, but how did it taste? I was like, I mean, it tasted like red velvet cake. Like the bake was fine. It's just that I don't really like red velvet cake. So what happened was they call for very specific cake pan dimensions and I don't have those cake pans. And so I run into this. Normally it takes a while for me to run into this where I don't have the right equipment. But my philosophy on this is like, I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of new equipment for this. I'm just going to kind of see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I made this with my friend Amanda and we didn't have the right size cake pans. We were like, you know what? Instead of 3 6-inch cake pans or instead of 3 6-inch cake rounds, cake, whatever tins, because you know, in the Bake Off, they make them in square tins and then cut out the circles. We used 9-inch cake pans and we're like, well, we'll just make 4 instead of 6. And it didn't work out. The layers were too thin. And so they were really, really crumbly. And so when it came time to assemble, everything was just a mess. And then I didn't have enough icing because the layers were so much bigger.
Right.
All that to say, it tasted fine. The bake was fine. The other thing that happened was that I sent Brandon to the store with a list of groceries, the list of ingredients. And he was at Whole Foods. And so he bought this like plant-based food dye. And I used the whole freaking bottle and it still didn't turn my cake red. So thankfully, Amanda had like some old, like real, you know, chemical food dye hiding in her pantry. And so we used that whole bottle and then it finally turned red. But you start with a brown chocolate cake and have to turn it red. So the amount of red food dye you have to use very high.
Yeah.
So my red was also not that vibrant. So anyway, it was okay. I mean, given the fact, I think if I had the right equipment, it would have been fine. The bake was fine. It tasted fine. Everything about it was fine.
Pretty straightforward.
Will not bake again.
Did your family eat it?
No. My family doesn't eat cake, really. I brought the whole thing home and an entire cake sat on my counter for an entire week.
I was going to say, you should have taken it to work.
I know. But it looked so bad, I didn't even want to take it to work. I didn't want to be like, I have produced this. Like, no.
You know those young whippersnappers would have eaten it.
But I didn't want to like put that forth as an example of something. Show up to work in like board shorts. It wasn't my right. Yeah. My people at my work show up to work in board shorts every day. But like, it wasn't a good, I didn't want people to, I think that reflected my baking skills. It was more about my ego.
Oh, that's fair.
All right, this week's technical, the directions they give before they start are don't get creative and don't dare disappoint. They need to make 12 Garibaldi biscuits, which are also called squash fly biscuits. And basically what these are little thin sandwich cookies with one half dipped in chocolate. And in between the sandwich cookies is like dried fruits. That'll be fine.
Reminds me of a Milano, just really flat.
But like filled with trail mix, kind of.
Right, right.
They are looking for them to roll the dough very thin. It needs to be a crisp biscuit. And then they're going to dip one half in chocolate and they want chocolate feathering. The hilarious thing about this week is that Shabira and Abdul do not know what feathering means. And so they make actual chocolate feathers. Which turn out great, but they're like,
they look amazing. No. And the extra effort is
not appreciated.
Yeah. They were like, what the hell?
In last place is Abdul because his are a mess. He's trying to dip them. They're falling apart. Like it's just like a pile of dough and chocolate. And he makes the bad chocolate feathers. He comes in last. And then Shabira is second from the bottom because again, she didn't know about feathering. She made actual chocolate feathers. James comes in second. His has good feathering, but they're a little bit too soft because the fruit wasn't dried enough. And then first place somehow is Rebs, which is a shock to everyone, including Rebs, who cries.
Right. She's one of the people that I'm like, she's going home real soon.
I'm surprised she didn't go home last week. Like every,
yeah.
So no one really nails this challenge. Even Rebs, her biscuit is a little bit too soft. The chocolate is a little bit too thick.
Yeah, this one was very much the great equalizer.
Yeah, it was a tricky one because there were like a lot of little things about it that weren't described. Like you really had to know what you were making.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one thing that's interesting about a technical challenge is they're also trying to challenge the bakers in their own knowledge of like, do you know all of these classic bakes? You should just know them off the top of your head, which I think is a little weird. Anyway, especially because the chocolate feathering is not proven, says like this is not a typical thing of a Garibaldi biscuit, but whatever. And then I will be making those this week and we'll talk about them next week. Any more notes on the technical? We normally just kind of fly through the technical. Nothing like too crazy happened, just nobody nailed it. Going into the showstopper, this still feels like it's anyone's game because Rebs, who's at the bottom of the signature, came out first in the technical. The people who like did pretty good in the signature didn't do that great in the technical. It's all over the board. The showstopper is a 3D biscuit mask. It can be any style of biscuit, has to taste good, has to stand upright on a stand. I feel like it didn't hit the K very hard. Mask. It has to be a mask. So it's kind of a cute concept, but it has to stand upright. Like you have to be able to put it on a little like mannequin. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to go through these in the order in which they like described them again, not necessarily the order they judged. Dawn is making a steampunk Baroque mask, which I think is so cool, with lemon shortbread cogs and a purple rice paper crown. Hers looks pretty good. Great gingerbread. She does well. Abdul is basing his on his African Senegal parrot he had when he was growing up. It's going to be gingerbread based and he's going to decorate it with 90 biscuit feathers. Coming out of the gate, they're like, are you going to be able to pull this off? But he really does. It looks so good.
It looks amazing. It reminds me of like those big feather Mardi Gras masks.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It almost is like has like a headdress vibe to it. The 3D biscuit look is unbelievable. It's amazing. Like everything sticks on there. The biscuits taste really good. They have the right texture. They're not overbaked. Yeah. He does incredible. Shabira's concept is like a two-faced. So one side is dark and one side is light. One side is heart-shaped rose pistachio biscuits and then chocolate sandwich biscuits on the other side. She's also making over 100 biscuits to stick on here. Hers also looks amazing. Delicious chocolate, good shortbread. She does great. Mason, she's going to paint gingerbread with icing and only use one other type of biscuit to decorate. So right off the bat, even she is sort of like, I hope this isn't too simple, but like,
They ask for 3D. They're asking for like multiple layers on it to stick out.
Right. Yeah. And she's pretty much just making like a mask and then painting it.
Right.
So her gingerbread is a little bit too thick, but it's baked okay. But it's a little too simple. They're like, you know, didn't blow us away. Like it looks cute, but like with the time you had, we wanted more. Janusz is doing an abstract cubist mask. This is so creative.
So creative.
It's going to be a spiced biscuit. There's a bunch of different flavors here because it's like almost like a puzzle of a mask. One is spiced biscuit, one is strawberry, one is matcha. It looks amazing. He has strong flavors. He does great. They love it. They're like, this is cubist to a T. The spiced biscuit, Paul takes a bite and says, that's Christmas. Like he really nails it. And it is the most original one by far.
It's so cool.
Maxie is making a carnival masquerade mask. Hers is going to have coconut and lime biscuit with cardamom and macadamia decorations. Hers looks so good. Also, it's really bright. It tastes great. She does great. Sandro also doing carnival with gingerbread and strawberry and elderflower biscuits with white chocolate roses. He loves himself a white chocolate rose. Lots of detail. His whole thing is like, I want it to be extremely detailed. I want to prove that I can like deliver this level of detail. And he does. It also looks great. Very sturdy, delicious, good flavors. People are actually shockingly nailing this challenge. It is going really, really well.
It's going really well. Every single one, they're like, oh my gosh, this is great. This is wonderful. Great job.
Yep. Until we get to Rebs, who is making a floral fascination Venetian style, which is a cool idea. Gingerbread with whiskey snap decorations. But in the way that her week has been going, she has to start over again halfway through. Her mask falls apart and she completely has to start over. So hers ends up being too small, not very elaborate, too much spice. And like in the end of it, it's not even the right flavor and it's too soft. The design is good, but my note is like, I think she's going home. She did not nail this and everyone else is nailing it.
Nailing it, right. Yet again, when it comes to that situation where when people start nailing it and you fall to the bottom versus like everyone kind of doing mediocre.
Right.
Which I think is what saved her in the technical.
Right, is that no one nailed
everyone
it.
Everyone so, like, just kind of like,
she
just
nailed
bombed
it the most, even though she
by
didn't
by the skin of
totally
her teeth,
yeah. James is really creative. He's making his completely out of brandy snaps, which are really, really brittle. That's their whole shtick. And it's going to be a horror movie creature mask with coffee buttercream and spiced fortune cookies. This one, so cool. I think, is so creative because he completely, so cool. Like everyone else is using a really thick cookie and then like putting stuff on top of it. His whole thing is made out of brandy snaps, which have this like kind of doily texture to them. And he geniusly builds it on the mold.
Yes. Genius versus people who are trying to pick it up and hang it on something where you're like, oh, yeah. Like the most nervous I've felt watching an episode.
He just builds it right on the face, which is so smart of him. Genius.
Yeah. It looks so cool. It looks like something that you would watch when you see people in like a movie special where they show the artists that make the masks.
Totally. Yes.
This is exactly what that looks like.
It's so good. It looks so interesting. Great detail. And it's delicious. He does great. It's really original. Carol is doing a mask inspired by the Phantom of the Opera Masquerade. So we got a lot of like layers of mask inspiration here.
Masquerade. That song?
Of course.
Okay.
She's doing a gingerbread orange zest and fondant decorations with dozens of mini macarons. But she finishes a little bit early and she actually puts it up on the stand. And while she's like wandering around, kind of looking at everyone else's, hers breaks and falls off the stand. Huge bummer.
Such a bummer.
What they basically tell her is that she had made her gingerbread with lard and they kind of raise that as a concern in the beginning. And lard is just going to be hard enough.
Yeah.
It's too heavy. But her macarons are great. Her tuiles are great. I think she's pretty safe. You know, sometimes this stuff happens and then they look at the elements. They see like, was it all there before it broke? And right. I think it really was.
And she cried and it was just so sad. And everyone was just really like, oh, your heart is breaking. Yes. Because she just really, she was so cute. She was trying not to cry. And it was just, I wanted to give her a hug so bad.
Compost Carol, huh? Kevin is making a mythical siren mask with macaron barnacles and gingerbread starfish. It looks okay. I feel like the concept of this could have been really cool and it just like didn't quite get there. His macarons are a little overbaked. He does fine. So coming out of the signature, who did you think was going to go home?
I was thinking Rebs or Mason.
Yeah, same. And then they also had said like Carol's in the bottom, but I really felt like she was safe. I was like, you know, I get it. Like she didn't, her mask fell, but yeah.
She's done well enough, way better. Right.
She was in the middle of packing the technical and she did pretty well in the signatures. Like, I don't think they're going to send her home just because her mask breaks. And then at the top, we obviously have Maxie who had gotten the handshake and did really well in the showstopper. James is up there. And then I also thought Dawn was up there.
Mm-hmm.
She also got a handshake. She also did decent in the technical, and I felt like she did pretty well in the showstopper. So Star Baker this week was Maxie.
Yay, Maxie.
And Mason did go home, which it was Mason. Her time.
And Rebs was really shocked, you could tell. I'm going to go ahead and just take a bet that Rebs is going home next week.
Unless next week is like chocolate week or something, or like patisserie week, and Rebs is like, oh, this is my jam.
Exactly.
She has that held on by the skin of her teeth week. The last 2 weeks. Like, she is at the bottom of the pile.
Yes.
And Carol was like, oh, I only got through. Like, I've gotten a second chance. I'm like, I don't really think, I don't think you did that badly.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So who has – have your predictions changed for who's going to win? Like win-win?
Win-win? No, I still think – well, Maxie showed us a big, strong week this week. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like Janusz is just killing so many of the important bakes. I think the technicals are just those weird hit-miss. But Janusz – who did I say? Janusz, Dawn, and
– Sandro.
I still think Sandro's a – top contender. Yeah. I feel like, okay, Shabira, yes. I feel like her confidence and knowledge when she was making the macarons, her batter looked perfect. Like she knows what she's doing, clearly.
But she may be a little overconfident.
Is she gonna go a little rogue where something might not work out? Who knows? But I still stand by my top three. I don't feel as confident about Dawn, but I'm just going to stick with it.
I agree. I feel like Dawn, I still think that Dawn is going to, when she is going to go home, like kind of towards, you know, the middle end and be like, yeah, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. She might just get tired.
Yeah. That's what I'm envisioning for her. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love doing this podcast and we love that you love listening to it. Tune in next week when I make the gear. What I already forgot the name of them.
Gabaldi.
The Garibaldi, the bald Gary cookies, the fly graveyard
the
cookies.
Dead flies.
You can find us on Instagram at joanneclaire_. You can go to our website, joanneclaire.com. You can email us. This is joanneclaire@gmail.com. Don't forget to listen to our other podcast. This is Joanne Claire, which comes out every Thursday. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week.
On your marks.
Get set.
Bye. cake. We're never going to get it together.